Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Strang Report. I'm Steve Strang, and I have a special guest, Bruce Buckingham, who is the son of Jamie Buckingham, who we'll talk about today, and I think that you'll find it inspiring. I certainly was inspired by Jamie Buckingham and his impact on my life and on Charisma Magazine and on Charisma Media. In fact, the entire charismatic movement was phenomenal. But before we get into that, we're going to pause and have a word from our sponsor.
Surviving in the Storm by Bruce Brummett is a book written by a U.S. Marine, where he learned warfare and how to survive in all sorts of circumstances. In this great book, Surviving in the Storm, Bruce served as a missionary and survived a storm of government tyranny and oppression. You can only imagine what that must have been like for this Marine. Learn how Bibles were smuggled into communist China. Listen as Bruce tells you about how he preached in underground churches behind the communist Iron Curtain. Perhaps you might learn how to survive in your own spiritual warfare. Look for spiritual triumph in this book, which will help you live and minister right in the midst of your storm and in the storm of increasingly repressive hostility toward the church. If you're concerned about America's future and the rise of overreaching government oppression, Surviving in the Storm is sure to help you in your faith and cause you to rise up and trust in the Lord. For free shipping, visit the website to purchase this book at brucerummett.com. brucerummett.com and the great book, Surviving in the Storm. Now back to our podcast.
Welcome back. I'm glad to talk to Bruce Buckingham. We have been reminiscing today, and so we're just going to reminisce, and you can join us, because Jamie Buckingham, to me, was one of the greatest men that I ever knew and certainly had a major impact. I've written about it. We named the meeting room in our publishing house headquarters in Florida after him. We call it Buckingham Hall. So first of all, let me say welcome to you, and it's nice to reconnect with you and your lovely wife, Michelle.
Thank you. It's good to be here and to see you and Joy as well.
Well, we've known each other a long time. We've known each other since, I guess, the late 70s. And, of course, your father impacted a lot of people. In fact, over the years, I've had occasion to talk to people about Jamie, and they'll tell me a story of where they picked him up at the airport to take him to some speaking engagement, and the conversation like changed their whole life.
Right.
And they never saw him after that, and they'll want to tell you about it and how he impacted people. So as his oldest son, oldest of five, how did he impact you?
Well, to me, obviously he was my father before he was a minister or a writer or a speaker. And I can say that growing up in the Buckingham family as the oldest child was probably a unique experience, to say the least. We got to hear firsthand the stories of the folks that picked him up from the airport. And they would go off and tell their own stories, but then Dad would come back and tell us the stories. You wouldn't believe this guy that picked me up from the airport in Richmond or in Seattle. And we would hear those kinds of stories and listen to him, how he talked about people. And how he talked about people was exactly the same way that he treated people, how he enriched their lives. But he was enriched by the lives of other people that he came in contact with as well.
Well, Jamie was probably best known for his many books. He was known as a writer. Mm-hmm. Although he was also a minister and he was a leader in the body of Christ, you know, really apart from his writing or maybe because of his writing. And, you know, he just impacted so many people, but he also went to heaven in 1992. So there are a lot of people who never knew him. So let me just give a real quick summary of his life. He was a Baptist minister who went to Southwest Theological Seminary and had a radical encounter with the Holy Spirit in 1967. Mm-hmm. He received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and he was also 35 years old before he ever wrote a book. In fact, I've used that so many times in writers' conferences to encourage people who maybe were never writers younger in their life, or they didn't go to college for that or whatever. 35 years old, he writes. Now, how old were you when he started writing at age 35. You would have been probably a young teenager, probably.
Well, I was in junior high school when he first published his first book, Run Baby Run, for Nikki Cruz. And then, of course, he went on and wrote books for Catherine Kuhlman, Corrie ten Boom. He wrote Pat Robertson's first book, Shout It from the Housetops. All these biographies of all these people that he was writing their stories for them. And then, of course, he moved on into his own writing career where he was writing his own teachings and his own ministries, and he wrote dozens of books on his own, not for other people. His legacy through that period of time, you mentioned he was a Baptist minister. Well, he was a Baptist minister up to a certain point, and he will tell you, and I've gone through a lot of his tapes where he's discussing these kinds of transitions in his life where he was working under his own power. I mean, of course, he was preaching the word, but it was under his own power, and he was running out of energy until he had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. And then he wasn't preaching under his power. He was preaching under the power of the Holy Spirit.
You know, being with you and Michelle has just brought back so many memories. And in some ways, I'm confronted with being around Jamie every day. I have pictures of him in my office and so forth. But, you know, I remember some of the things he said. I didn't know him back in that era. But he talks about how he put on the marquee out in front of the church how to have more than a Sunday morning religion.
Right.
And how some of the other ministers objected to it, and how he even kind of understood their point of view and took it down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they built a very simple church. They didn't want to put a lot of money needlessly. He'd call it the sheep shed because
That's
where you keep all the sheep. I mean, it probably seated, 2,000 people, didn't it?
It's a place to meet. It's not a church. The church are the people. It is just a place to meet on a Sunday morning. And that's why he developed the slogan, for those who want more than a Sunday religion. And, of course, it did upset a lot of the traditionalists in the area. And they came to him and they say, hey, look, you know, you might have this, but we don't have it now, so it's offensive to us. So he said, okay, I'm not going to offend my brothers, so we painted over the sign. But the church still maintained that type of philosophy that the church is not just the building. It's certainly not the building. And so the building really doesn't matter that much. It's just a place to meet. You have a roof over your head. We didn't have carpet on the floor. We had folding chairs, but we had 2,000 people there on a Sunday morning. It didn't matter what the building looked like. What mattered was the relationships.
That's right. And he was a trendsetter in lots of ways because, for example, he believed in sharing leadership, even though from my perspective, he was more of a leader and certainly more well-known by a factor of 10 than all the other leaders put together, you know, but yet he would defer to their leadership, obviously. He tried to share leadership in lots of ways. You know, he was almost like he experimented with a lot of new techniques, some of which have become rather common nowadays.
He was not a self-promoter. Today, where you have so many people that are on TV or on radio or on the internet, where they're basically promoting themselves, promoting their ministry, he wouldn't do that. His idea, if you're not promoting God, then you're promoting yourself. So you promote God and promote the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and then God will set the path for how he wants you to continue doing that. You don't have to promote yourself.
He was ahead of his time in lots of ways. He died in 1992. That was right before we heard of this thing called the internet. And the last few years of his life, we actually published a weekly newsletter called the Buckingham Report.
Right.
We would send it out on Monday, and we would mail it first class so people could get it quickly. Also, the church, the Tabernacle, had a newsletter called the Trumpet.
Right.
And lots of people around the country would subscribe. I mean, who reads somebody else's church newsletter, you know, telling what's happening in the church? But Jamie wrote a column, and it was so good. Now, that's the kind of thing that today would be a blog.
Right.
It would be an e-newsletter. His sermons and tapes would be on the internet. And, of course, he never knew about all that.
He didn't know about that, but that's what I'm happy to tell you today, is that now a lot of his sermons, the Buckingham Report, the Trumpet columns, are on the internet now at www.jamiebuckinghamministries.com. And you can go there and you can download these things for free. You can listen to his sermons again for free. We've got hundreds of sermons online. We are republishing his books. So www.jamiebuckinghamministries.com.
And I encourage people to go there and listen to it and also see some videos. Is that right? YouTube?
We've got a number of videos that you can get access to from that particular website where he is speaking at the church, at the Tabernacle Church. He's speaking at a couple of locations around the country. We've got his video teachings that he did in Israel, Bible study teachings that are great Bible studies for small groups. They are online, and the workbooks that go with them are on the website as well.
Well, he was a great man, and he certainly impacted me. And very early in the tenure of Charisma Magazine, while we were still a church magazine, he came alongside, and we were honored to let him write a column. He actually wrote a column for us at the same time he was writing a column for Logos Journal. Now, Logos Journal went under after a while. In fact, we absorbed their subscribers when they ceased publication, and he wrote the last word on the inside back page for 13 years right. and gave us a lot of credibility out in the marketplace at in a time where there were a lot of magazines. And, you know, our magazine, and looking back now in our 40th anniversary, the early editions seem kind of amateurish, especially considering the standards that we expect today in magazines and publications and so forth. But he gave us a lot of credibility. But more important than that, he sowed a lot into me. I spent time with him pretty regularly. Like, I'd get together with him at least once a month. Sometimes he'd come to editorial meetings. But one of the most valuable things to me is he would let me tag along with these meetings with kind of Christian leaders, you know, kind of the David Duplessis and Dennis Bennett's and Pat Robertson's of the world.
Right.
And, you know, I would just kind of sit in the corner and watch because I was, you know, pretty young. And I learned a lot. In fact, I learned a lot of networking skills that I use all these years later.
Right. And that's what he was good at. He was good at bringing people together. In fact, he's been called a bridge builder. He was good at bringing denominational churches together, different denominations together, where they would actually meet in the same room. And he always said, let's put our differences aside. You know, we agree on one thing, the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Everything else is just, hey, whatever. But we agree on this one thing, and that's where we are going to focus. And people came together under that kind of philosophy. They put their differences aside so that they could come together as the church.
And he wasn't intimidated by big names. He wasn't afraid of asking the hard questions. He wasn't beyond pricking people's spiritual balloons so that they would pop.
Go to some of those Buckingham reports online, and you'll find that some of his reports of some of the things that were going on back in the mid to late 80s and early 90s, he wasn't afraid to call out problems where there were problems in the church, and he named names. And it's very interesting reading. It's a good historical perspective on what was going on in the church back then.
It is interesting from a historical perspective, and I think that it's important what you're doing to maintain this legacy. But, you know, for the average person, they didn't know Jamie, certainly like you and I did. But I believe that they can be inspired by his life just in so many ways. So tell me, Bruce, what you feel his lasting legacy is to inspire people.
Well, his inspirations were that we all have shortcomings and we all have flaws. But if you can't look at your own flaws and then correct them, there aren't enough people around to laugh at you. Don't worry. You know, we'll take care of that. But you've got to look at yourself as an individual. Look at yourself, but then look at yourself as God looks at you as well. And recognize that you are a person that is imperfect. His legacy was that we are all imperfect. And we all fall short. But that God loves us individually. He's got a plan for each one of us. And that all comes out in his writings, in his sermons. And I'm just happy to be able to make it available for folks to go back and listen to and read again.
And he was a brilliant writer. His use of the language, he was a storyteller, the stories that he would tell, the ways that he would be self-revealing. You know, before I ever met him, I remember reading Risky Living and saying to myself, how could somebody be so honest in kind of in print for all the world to see? I mean, that was something that stuck out of my mind. And I encourage people to delve into it. It's a treasure chest of wealth of information. And, you know, I hope that as you read Jamie's books, as you go online, that you'll be inspired as I was inspired by the life of this great man. And I'll just thank you, Bruce, for joining me today on the Strang Report. And why don't you tell us that website once again?
Okay, thank you, Steve. It's www.jamiebuckinghamministries.com. And if you'll go there, you'll find different links to videos, to his books. The columns that he wrote for Charisma and Ministries Today are all online as well in a PDF format. And his sermons, we are in the process of digitizing all of his sermons that we've been able to find. And they're online as well, www.jamiebuckinghamministries.com.
Thank you, Bruce.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.